encouraged child. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Mrs. Curry, for allowing us to celebrate Holy Mass today in your home. It's an honor for me as well. Thank you, Seth, for setting it up, and you as well, Aaron, always for organizing things, and Mrs. Scanlon for just being awesome. It's true. This isn't a political homily. I have to preface it with that. The prophet Amos was Trumpian even before Trump. Do you see that? Do you see how the prophet Amos is more Trumpian than Trump himself is? What Donald Trump, they always talk about him as a being one who, when somebody says something to him, when somebody attacks him in some sort of way, when somebody shoves something in his face, especially like the media always wanting to do things, what is his response? Do they say, yeah, my bad. I spoke incorrectly. Does he do that? He doesn't lessen in the least bit. In fact, he tightens things and emphasizes and raises the temperature of the event. That's what the prophet Amos is doing here. Prophet Amos, he is being told here, hey, look, Amos, we don't want anything to do with you. Get out of here. Go ahead and go prophesy some other place because you're not welcome here. Do whatever it is. Just get the heck out of here. Because what you say is not what we want to hear. What does he do? Instead, what he says here is he says, I was no prophet before this. I was just somebody who took care of trees. That's it. I'm not here prophesying because I want to. I'm here prophesying because God said, go and do this. Tell my people these things. Hear the word of the Lord. And you're mad at me because I'm telling the truth, because I'm saying the things that the Lord says. But I tell you, your wife is going to be made into a harlot in the city. That your sons and daughters are going to fall by the sword. That everything around you is going to go south. Because you're not going to follow what God says. Whereas if you look at what he says prior to this, it's not as extreme as what he says here. And in this way, the prophet Amos is more Trumpian than Trump himself. Why? Because prophet Amos, one, he's perfect, right? He's not perfect, but he's obviously a saint. He's Saint Amos. And so he doesn't have all the baggage that our president has with him, but he drives things deeper. And what we need to hear from this, what we need to listen to about what's here, yes, in the world, two things. First, to speak to you missionaries. This should drive something deeply in you. Are you like Prophet Amos? Are you like the Prophet Amos? He's a saint. Examine what it is that's motivating you to be a missionary. Why are you going out? Why are you speaking? Why do you think that you're somebody who's called to go out and do things? Is it because you really like talking to people? Because you really like the praise and adulation that's given to a prophet in his own day that being looked at? If so, that's not what Saint Amos does. Saint Amos was going about doing his own thing. Saint Amos was just content taking care of sycamore trees. And God put a burning in his belly, in his trust, in his soul right there, so that he couldn't say no, just like the prophet Jeremiah. And so he had to go out. And he knew from the beginning that they're not going to want to hear this stuff. And he went out even in spite of it all. If that's not what's motivating the two of you to be missionaries, you need to stop this now. Because the prophet doesn't call, or God doesn't call prophets of people who want to go out and to be prophets. God doesn't call out missionaries of people who want to go out and be missionaries. God calls ordinary people doing their thing, and he says, you have to go out. And it's actually the not wanting to go out is a precondition for being a prophet. Because those who want it always want it for the wrong reasons. That's the first thing. And the second thing, the second thing that the prophet Amos speaks to us is the same thing that Jesus speaks to the paralytic man. He doesn't come in there and say, oh, pobrecito, I'm sorry that you're struggling in this way. Let me give you a hug and console you in some sort of way. He doesn't nourish the man. He doesn't say, oh, you're a paralytic. You probably want me to heal you, right? He doesn't say that. The thing that he speaks to this man is the same thing that our Lord speaks to us each and every day if we're listening to him. What does he say? Remember those words? What does he say? You got to say it louder.
Courage, child.
You got to say it louder.
Courage, child.
There we go. That's what he says. He says, courage, child. I don't know how old this guy is, but I think he's older than Jesus is. That's my mental image of him. When I pray, I think this guy is older than Jesus is. But what does he say to him? He says, courage, child. In Latin, the word that is used in the Vulgate is confide. In the older translation of the English scripture there, I think he says, take courage. Or be lifted up in soul. I can't remember it exactly. I wrote it down. So his first thing is to raise up the soul. In Spanish, we say like ten anima. Like, have your soul, like, raise up your soul. Don't let it be wavering, but actually possess it. And so that's what our Lord speaks to us in the middle of our difficulties. As we're being missionaries, y'all are missionaries too, by virtue of being Catholic. Each one of us are missionaries in our local community, wherever it is. We're going to the grocery store or whatever, to be missionaries, to preach the gospel with our lives, with our comportment, and the way in which we encounter others with that Catholic joy that has to be motivating everything it is that we do. He says, take courage. I said it on Sunday to my people there, but Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 16. He says, in the world, you're going to have trouble. In the world, you're going to have trouble. He says this right before he goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane, by the way, right before he's betrayed, knowing all these things that are going on. When he's with his men, he says, take courage, my disciples. In the world, you're going to have trouble. Guess what? I've overcome the world. And notice that he's not saying that after he's resurrected. He's saying that right before his passion even begins. Right before he's weeping upon that stone and saying, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass away from me, as he's sweating drops of blood. He says, I've already overcome the world. So it is for us. As prophets, as missionaries, you're going through rough stuff. As living out your life as Catholic women, you're going through hard times. As priests, it's the same thing. But we can't let the world dissuade us from preaching the truth that they need to hear. And truth, it will end in our death. But he says, ten anima, take courage. Don't be discouraged. Make sure that your motivations are right when you're engaging. When you got that, our Lord always calls you child, which is your relationship to Him. And a father always protects a child. There's something in a man when you see a child, when you see somebody who's weak, when you see somebody who's defenseless in some sort of way, that says, bring that one closer. Let me put that one behind me, because whatever's coming at this one has to go through me first. That's what it means to be a missionary, to be a prophet in our own lives. So let's ask our Lord as we worship here at Holy Mass, as we prepare to receive Him, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, to let that courage really be real within us. He's calling us to step into His place as little Christ, but at the same time, we're also His little children. So if we're in that midst of difficulty, let's ask Him to really see ourselves as His little children, so that in Him, and only in Him, are we able to take that courage. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.